The World According to Maria Bamford.
Anyways, if you ever start thinking, oh, but I'm a waste of space and I'm a burden, remember that also describes the Grand Canyon. Oh, but I owe people a lot of money and everybody hates me. Hello, Europe. Oh, but I've done some other horrible, unspeakable, unforgivable thing. Google it! Somebody has done exactly what you have done, or worse, has gotten past it and is currently on a book tour. You're never alone!
Comedian Maria Bamford goes where no humorist has gone before. Her troubled self is perfect material up against Louis C.K. on Louis, or up against Tobias in Arrested Development. And of course, there's always the character of Maria's cool, calm, collected family therapist mom, Marilyn, to fall back on.
Honey, we're in Turkey, and the building next to us is on fire, and the imam says we have to switch hotels, which is just crazy. So we're fine, and we're going to go shopping, and I'm just going to wrap myself in a Turkish flag and hope for the best. Your father's taking a video of the fire. Joel! Don't YouTube that, Joel. Don't. I think that's a State Department warning. Oh, jeez. Well, we'll talk to you.
The takeaway is Kristen Meinzer talked with Bamford about how those bright eyes of hers contain a wealth of story, character, the pain of mental illness, and laughs, most of them at her own expense.
Hi, Maria.
Hello, Kristen. That's such a wonderful intro. I feel excited to... to talk to this person.
Oh my God.
You speak of.
We're all really big fans of yours here at The Takeaway. We love you and we're so excited that you have some time for us today.
Oh, no. Thank you for taking the time. I have tons of time, it turns out. I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Don't you guys just like spend all day, like, I don't know, doing yoga and drinking juice?
We do. We wander around in a flip-flop. Sometimes you don't even wear a shoe. You just come out in a sock. You wander over to the grocery store. If you see somebody, they're probably in their socks, too.
Well, you are making me laugh about L.A., but more often than not, people know you for making them laugh and to cringe about more delicate matters, like those candid issues. Like mental illness. And I want to talk with you about some of these harder issues. It's been said that comedy is an expression of pain. How do you feel about that idea?
Well, my family is very expressive, hyper liberal. We'll say, you know, we've always talked about everything, at least within the family. And, if not, you know, on a public level. So the great thing about comedy is that if you talk about something that you're horrified about and you hear any laughter, that means somebody else has had the exact same experience. Whereas, like, sometimes if you go and tell a therapist something, you're working with one crowd member, and they might just be horrified. And then you got to find somebody else.
You're talking about some stuff in your stand-up act that some of it is kind of horrifying. I mean, I'm not saying you're horrifying. Some of the ideas are very intense and hard. Like the fear of killing or hurting people you love.
Yes. And as a kid, I think I was around 10 or 11 when I stopped. I wasn't able to sleep very much at night because I was afraid. There's a type of OCD that not everybody has heard of. Mostly you've heard of the kind where you wash your hands or you have to have things in a certain order. And there's another type that sometimes people have heard about with postpartum depression, where it's like a fear of hurting your child, hurting your baby. When I was a kid, started fearing that I was going to hurt physically, sexually, hurt my family, friends, strangers, anyone. And what I would do is to try to get myself to not do that. I would grip my fists. I would do sort of a number of rituals, staying up all night. And I couldn't tell it to anybody until I was about 35. Finally, I Googled it. Thank God for the internet. Unwanted thoughts or disturbing thoughts. And within, I think, 2 months, I had done these cognitive behavioral exercises. And I was free from something that had plagued me since childhood. It was just unbelievable, unbelievable. And so I felt like it was, you know, I mean, well, the great thing about comedy, too, is that part of shock value, or that, you know, when you somebody breathes in, is a part of making somebody laugh as you build up some sort of tension. So in talking about something, chopping up my family in chunks and bits and having sex with the chunks and bits and putting the chunks and bits on a Cobb salad and tossing it and feeding it to my friends, like, that is, and I'm not doing the joke, I'm not doing the joke justice. It is beautifully written, and I wish I still knew it. But that's the great thing, is that I don't have to, the power has been taken away from that fear. And that's what I wanted, I think, to share with other people, was so that somebody else wouldn't have to suffer from it anymore, because I wasn't suffering. And I think the same thing has to do with, you know, I've had bipolar, or whatever they're going to call it. They're probably going to call it banana sandwiches next year. But that I've been hospitalized in a psychiatric facility. And I wanted to talk about that because I felt so ashamed of it. Like, my joke is like, you know, I'm going to kill myself, but I'm not insane. You know, I'm not going to go in somewhere. And I guess after going through that, going, oh, I would like to share that with other people so that maybe somebody else would be, you know, might not take their own lives, or might be more willing to go in to get psychiatric help instead of, and not just psychiatric help, be hospitalized for it. Because I think that was my limitation. I was like, well, I'm not going to go in somewhere. You know, like, and it was hilarious because my mom is a therapist, and she had had a manic episode, and she felt this, you know, no, I'm not going to go in, even though she was a danger to herself and to others, you know. And of course, at that point, your brain is a little bit broken, so you're not doing so well. So that's, I wanted to share about that. But I think I could only share about it in retrospect when I was feeling a little bit better.
And now you sound like you're very much on a path that's where you're really being taken care of in all the ways you need to take care of yourself. Do you feel that this has opened up a whole different world of observation and material for you now that you're feeling happier and healthier?
Well, I hope so. I don't know. I'm sort of inside of it, so I don't know. I know I am much happier than I've ever been. One thing, I didn't want to go on a mood stabilizer before for the same prejudice of like, oh, that means you're crazy. And also there's side effects that didn't seem attractive. The ones that I've gotten from this, I'm on Depakote, is weight gain and a light tremor. And so I always seem a little nervous. But the benefits of the medication, and I think it primarily has been a medication thing, because I have never felt this good in my whole life for this long a time. For 3 years, I have felt, you know, no suicidal ideation even, or any depression, or, you know, just sort of, I think what people, you know, deem to be sort of a normal life where you just feel pretty much okay. Also, I'm a little bit sleepier. But for the lack of wanting to kill myself, I'm in. It's good to be on this stuff.
Comedian Maria Bamford talking with Takeaway producer Kristen Meinzer. Maria is currently featured in the USA sitcom Benched.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.